CD 6.
At a time like this, his hands automatically patted his pockets and found nothing at all but half a bag of jelly babies melted into a sticky mass and an apple core. Neither offered much consolation. What Cutwell wanted was what any normal wizard wanted at a time like this, which was a smoke. He'd have killed for a cigar and would have gone as far as a flesh wound for a squashed dog end. He pulled himself together. Resolution was good for the moral fibre. The only trouble was the fibre didn't appreciate the sacrifices he was making for it. They said that a truly great wizard should be permanently under tension. You could have used Cutwell for a bowstring. He turned his back on the brassicaed landscape and made his way back down the winding steps to the main part of the palace. Still, he told himself, the campaign appeared to be working. The population didn't seem to be resisting the fact that there was going to be a coronation, although they weren't exactly clear about who was going to be crowned. There was going to be bunting in the streets, and Cutwell had arranged for the town square's main fountain to run, if not with wine, then at least with an acceptable beer made from broccoli. There was going to be folk dancing, at sword point if necessary. There would be races for children. There would be an ox roast. The royal coach had been regilded, and Cutwell was optimistic that people could be persuaded to notice it as it went by. The high priest at the Temple of Blind Io was going to be a problem. Cutwell had marked him down as a dear old soul whose expertise with the knife was so unreliable that half of the sacrifices got tired of waiting and wandered away. The last time he'd tried to sacrifice a goat, it had time to give birth to twins before he could focus, and then the courage of motherhood had resulted in it chasing the entire priesthood out of the temple. The chances of him succeeding in putting the crown on the right person, even in normal circumstances, were only average, Cutwell had calculated. He'd have to stand alongside the old boy and try tactfully to guide his shaking hands. Still, even that wasn't the big problem. The big problem was much bigger than that. The big problem had been sprung on him by the Chancellor after breakfast.
"Fireworks," Cutwell had said.
"That's the sort of thing you wizard fellows are supposed to be good at, isn't it?" said the Chancellor, as crusty as a week-old loaf. "Fleshes and bangs and whatnot. I remember a wizard when I was a lad."
"I'm afraid I don't know anything about fireworks," said Cutwell, in tones designed to convey that he cherished his ignorance.
"Lots of rockets," the Chancellor reminisced happily. "Archean candles, thunder flashes, and thingies that you can hold in your hand. It's not a proper coronation without fireworks."
"Yes, but you see, good man," said the Chancellor briskly, "knew we could rely on you. Plenty of rockets, you understand, and to finish with there must be a set piece, mind you. Something really breathtaking, like a portrait of...
His eyes glazed over in a way that was becoming depressingly familiar to Cutwell.
"The Princess Kaylee," he said wearily.
"Ah, yes, her," said the Chancellor. "A portrait of, who you said, in fireworks. Of course, it's probably all pretty simple stuff to you wizards, but the people like it. Nothing like a good blowout and a blow-up and a bit of a balcony waving to keep the loyalty muscles in tip-top shape, that's what I always say. See to it, rockets, with runes on."
An hour ago, Cutwell had thumbed through the index of the Monster Fun Grimoire and had cautiously assembled a number of common household ingredients and put a match to them. Funny thing about eyebrows, he mused, you never really noticed them until they'd gone. Red around the eyes and smelling slightly of smoke, Cutwell ambled towards the royal apartments, past bevies of maids engaged in whatever it was maids did, which always seemed to take at least three of them. Whenever they saw Cutwell, they would usually go silent, hurry past with their heads down, and break into muffled giggles along the corridor. This annoyed Cutwell. Not, he told himself quickly, because of any personal considerations, but because wizards ought to be shown more respect. Besides, some of the maids had a way of looking at him which caused him to think distinctly unwizardly thoughts. Truly, he thought, the way of enlightenment is like unto half a mile of broken glass. He knocked on the door of Kaylee's suite. A maid opened it.
"Is your mistress in?" he said, as haughtily as he could manage.
The maid put her hand to her mouth. Her shoulders shook. Her eyes sparkled. A sound like escaping steam crept between her fingers.
"I can't help it," Cutwell thought. "I just seem to have this amazing effect on women."
"Is it a man?"
came Kaylee's voice from within. The maid's eyes glazed over and she tilted her head, as if not sure of what she'd heard.
"It's me, Cutwell," said Cutwell.
"Oh, that's all right then. You can come in."
Cutwell pushed past the girl and tried to ignore the muffled laughter as the maid fled the room. Of course,